And Kevin Frazier joins us now. Kevin, would you like to please introduce yourself and let voters know why you're running for city council?
Sure, KP. Thanks for having me on today. My name's Kevin Frazier. I'm excited to be running for Asheville City Council. I am a ninth generation Ashevillian. I grew up here when Asheville was a very different place than it is today. It was frankly a city on the brink of collapse. To have come back in my lifetime to be the mountain metropolis that it is today. I'm excited about the progress that Asheville's made, but I've been concerned that we're getting stuck and that we've got important issues that are taking too long for us to move forward on, things like affordable housing. And I'm concerned that if we don't move ahead with greater speed and alacrity, that we're going to get ourselves stuck and we'll wither as a community. That's what inspired me to run. I'm a historian by vocation. I taught history at UNC Asheville and then became an administrator there. And I now work for Western Carolina University and head up our satellite campus down in South Asheville. But part of my work in history has been talking about the history of Asheville. And I keep talking about all these folks that stepped up year after year. And finally I said, okay, you got to step up yourself if you're concerned about what's going on in Asheville. So that's what's driving me, and I'm glad to be here today to chat a bit.
Thank you. You mentioned affordable housing, which is unquestionably one of Asheville's biggest issues. What concrete actions would you be able to take to make housing more affordable in Asheville?
Sure. I think the most important thing that council can do is focus on an area that it has the most control, and that's our development ordinances. We have the Unified Development Ordinance that was put together in 1997, and it is really outdated, outmoded. It downgraded so literally thousands of properties that it had a higher density to a lower density, and it took 7,000 acres in the city and made it only single family that had been zoned for multifamily before. And so now for 30 years, we've not been building multifamily homes, whether that's duplexes or triplexes, townhouses or splits or whatever it might be. And because of that, we just don't have enough housing inventory. I mean, it's good old-fashioned supply and demand. Our demand's higher than our supply, and it's allowing the prices to go up and up, whether it's a rental or it's a purchase. And that's put us in a crisis mode. So the work City Council can do is to do a revision of the UDO. And I'm not looking for, let's spend years and years on this. We're at a crisis point. We got to do something now. Durham right now has actually brought a firm in to help them do that work. And that's not because our folks can't do it, but they're already busy in the planning department with all the regular stuff they do. So that'd be about working hand in hand to begin that work. But then there's also things right now that we can do that we know is good national practice, like getting rid of parking minimums, that you have to have so much parking tied to a piece of development, or be able to sell off flag lots, that you've got lots in communities that have enough lot square footage that you could actually parcel off and build another small house there. Those are easy sort of front-end ways while we're doing the bigger work. Because frankly, the UDO, as it's called, is so complicated in parts, it just makes it too expensive to build. And frankly, a lot of local builders just can't do it anymore. It's too much money up front. And then frankly, even some bigger outside builders, they don't want to get involved because they can go to other cities and do it more easily and be profitable and provide the product that the city needs.
Mm-hmm. Improving housing affordability would likely make one of the biggest impacts on homelessness as well. Other improvement opportunities exist in harm reduction and mental health services. And I'm wondering what solutions could you offer to those problems in the areas of harm reduction and mental health?
Sure. So I am a really strong supporter of the work that the city and the county have done to create the continuum of care model. That's bringing together all the different providers. Because the great thing is we actually have a lot of different providers doing good work, but there wasn't an umbrella of coordination to pull all that together. And that's happening, and it's a group that's also leading itself. So it's not an imposition of city government, you got to do this thing, county government, you got to do this thing. And I think that's really important because, frankly, city council is not in the business of homelessness in terms that there are pros who know how to do this work the best. And so I think council needs to rely on the pros to guide us. And our role is to support that and provide that. So I think right now we need to support the continuum of care model and let it mature and support it as they give in direction back to council and say, this is how we need that support. And then the other part is council is really going to have to work with other folks about some short-term and long-term shelter situations. We just don't have enough space, and that gets into a lot of controversy, and there will be nothing easy about doing that work, but it's important work that we've got to do. I'm just a believer that we take care of all of our neighbors, whether they got a house or they don't have a house. We're all neighbors, and I think we're a community who can do that. And with all that, to the frame of that question too, that by supporting the continuum of care, we're helping with support for the mental health, other crises, that we're pulling those folks together to be able to help people out.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. do you support the targeting of houseless people by the Asheville City Police that's been done, like the homeless camp sweeps or the special operations, which targeted arrests of panhandlers that we've seen over the past year?
No, I mean, I have a mixed feeling about that, because I don't support having encampments on public property. I think it's not good for the general public. It's not good for the folks who are there. There's oftentimes not sufficient sanitation and things to help folks there. And at the same time, I also don't believe that we want our police force to be, you know, pushing everybody off the street. That's not a reality. It's not something that's sustainable. So again, it's working together. It's going to be some compromise solutions to be able to figure that out. The key thing is we want to provide the support to get folks off the street in the first place, so they don't have to be panhandling. They don't have to be creating encampments.
Mm-hmm. Do you support the BID, the Business Improvement District?
Yeah.
Why or why not? And then what do you want to see when it comes to the next decisions in the BID process, which includes the governance structure and management and the services that are to be delivered?
Yeah, I do support the Business Improvement District, and was part of the conversations early and on the way. And I think it's actually become a good example of what community conversation can lead to, and has evolved that to be even better than what was originally presented to folks. And so, you know, right now the city is soon to put out the request for proposals for entities that will run the BID. My hope is it'll be a local entity that does that, and then they'll manage any kind of contracts for cleaning and upkeep and all that. I think also, I was just going through what the city's been putting together on this, and I like where things have landed with the group called the Community Stewards. It's called Ambassadors, blah, 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 but the city's chosen the term Community Stewards, and I think they've made it very clear, and I think it was the goal from the get-go. These are people who help folks out, local folks, visitors, to get some guidance. They need a helping hand. If somebody is experiencing homelessness or having a health issue downtown, that they call and get the right people to come give them a hand. It's not about hiding it or moving them off the street. It's about getting them assistance. But it's also, you know, the role of the community stewards is to call when the trash cans are full, or get folks out when there's graffiti that needs to be removed off of public property. And the city's also, I think, done the right thing to really outline the kind of training, anti-racism training, homelessness support training, de-escalation training, and several others that are going to be required of folks. When all of that was going on in those conversations with the bids, I went to different cities to experience and see what that was. And without telling them why, I just was meeting with the, in those cases, they called them ambassadors. We'd call them community stewards, and got a good sense of what they did. And, you know, it's nothing nefarious. And in Asheville, one of the other things the city's made very clear, they're not going to be armed in any way. They don't play a public safety role in that kind of security policing. They're there to help folks, and that might be to connect them to those other resources, but they're not walking around with a weapon or anything similar to that.
Great, thank you. Since HCA acquired Mission, the quality of care has suffered to the point that was or is in danger of losing its contract with Medicare and Medicaid. What, if anything, can the city do about the decline of that institution, which is so critical to the well-being of our community?
You know, the city doesn't have a direct role in it. But I think the city can continue to put pressure on. I've reached a point that I think the sale of the hospital would probably be the best interest for the long run for the community. Ideally, probably back to a nonprofit hospital entity, a healthcare entity. And so part of that's just continuing to put the lien. And the lien is best done at the state level. You know, I mean, that's been relying out of the Attorney General's office. I'm concerned that not only for the folks that are here now, that we don't have the right level of health care. I mean, we went from having one of the top 15 health care systems in the country year after year to now one that is not even a blip on the radar screen. And that worries me not only about for those of us who are here now, but it worries me for things about like economic development, that companies and businesses that we'd like to be in Asheville will get apprehensive because they're afraid their folks won't get good care if they're here. So I think the thing the city's got to do is continue to put the press it can on state officials to put the press it can on HCA.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So preliminary data indicates that so far the Merriman Avenue Road diet, our conversion of a major sector of this key thoroughfare from four lanes to three lanes and allowing for enhanced bicycle and pedestrian access, reduced crashes and increased bicycle traffic, and the impact on pedestrians still unclear, but we can assume that it's probably improved that as well. All of this with an average increased travel time of no more than 14 seconds. So how does this information inform your view of the upcoming major Patton Avenue reconfiguration in response to the I-26 connector?
Yeah, I think it's a great precursor for that. I've been interested in and supportive of what we're doing on the Patton Avenue in the same framework that's what happened with Merriman. The important thing right now with Merriman is that there are follow-up studies being done. I was there at City Council when they presented the information, and that was great because if we'd have done that and we weren't doing the follow-ups, then that's not being successful with it, because we need to know, did it work, did it not work? And at least preliminarily, it seems to be working. I have to say my surprise with that on Merriman was it actually regularized the car part, because Merriman's really weird. You know, Merriman undulates in size throughout the whole length of it, and now the lanes are consistent. It's actually the bike lanes that take the scale from, you know, smaller to bigger. And that actually seems to have gotten folks a little more attentive to what's going on, just even in the car framework. So I think it's a good prep for the plan for Patton Avenue, and I will want to see the same thing, that we'll continue to do a study and check in with it and make sure that it works. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, then we go to a plan B.
Great. Sidewalks and improved bus service are things that residents have always been calling for. How do you help push those efforts forward?
Well, you know, on the sidewalk part, several of those are included in the general obligation bond referendum that voters will get the chance to vote on. The four different bonds at $20 million apiece, including a couple that specifically address infrastructure issues. And so that becomes our best work on the sidewalks. Now, part of that, I got asked recently what would be my priorities out of those bonds. And in the end, I said, it's all of those. I don't have a top priority because if we're making a promise to the community, these are things we're going to build, then we have to meet that promise. And part of that is I want to see the 2016 projects, which include several sidewalks. Folks in Hawk Creek, they want their sidewalk really bad, and they've been waiting really patiently to get that. So we've got to do that. The part in terms of of our transit system, I do support expanding our transit, but I believe really strongly we've reached the point we have to move to a metropolitan transit system. If we keep focusing the transit system within the city limits, we're not serving our folks. Our current system is in this model that it pulls everybody downtown to the hub on Cox Avenue, but everybody's not needing to go downtown, and they don't live downtown. I am in meetings. Part of the work I do with WCU is community and economic development. That's about half my job for the university just here in Metro Asheville. So I'm one of these guys that help bring the guys and gals that bring folks to Asheville and bring good jobs. Well, in my conversations down in South Asheville with a lot of our manufacturers, they are desperate for good employees. And we've got some really good employees in other neighborhoods here in town that can't get there. And folks say, well, they should take an Uber. Well, an Uber literally could be an hour or 2 hours salary pay. So that doesn't make any sense. But our current system doesn't get people that far. And if we could rethink this as a metropolitan system that served the county and the city, every time I go by out in Woodfin and I go by Mountain Mobility, the county's system that mainly serves folks that don't have older people, but there's a lot of vans. And I'm like, is there a way to rethink that? And it happens to be that the same contractor the city uses, the county uses. And I'm like, well, let's use that to our advantage to have some real conversations about how do we stretch the transit. We're really focused on big giant buses. I don't think that always serves us the best. We've got this hub model. I would be more interested in what some people call the subway model, that you've got more arteries and more connecting points so that you don't have to get everything back to downtown. You could be doing your transfer somewhere in West Asheville that gets you to South Asheville.
Mm-hmm. Nice. The legality or illegality of drugs certainly isn't in city council's purview. But if you're elected, would you consider working to put the enforcement of marijuana prohibition at the lowest priority for the Asheville Police Force and allocating significant money to social services for and other efforts such as employment subsidies and training to reintegrate drug war victims?
Yeah, I think being able to support folks and make a reallocation of resources to support them in addiction and other kinds of issues makes sense. I think the horse is long out of the barn with marijuana right now. And I sort of laugh when, it's like North Carolina does and doesn't. And so I'm driving by, I'm on Merriman Avenue yesterday, and I'm seeing there's some new big cannabis dispensary, and I'm like, for a state that hasn't made it legal yet, it's starting to look really that way. And of course, out on the Quala boundary, they have made it legal for recreation. And I think as we see how the impact of that is and being able to reallocate resources makes good sense.
Cool. Thank you. What are your thoughts on short-term rental restrictions and the flagrant violations of the current regulations? Do you believe the city should act to make Airbnb accountable with regards to its refusal to provide key data that would help facilitate Asheville's enforcement of its current regulations?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it behooves the city to enforce its regulations. I think that's not really clear how that's done right now. I don't support any kind of changes to lessen or loosen that within the city. I'm super concerned about this lawsuit that's working its way through the courts in North Carolina from around Statesville that potentially could end the ability of cities and counties to regulate Airbnbs. I think Airbnbs have a place in the community. I think it's a regulated place. We don't want all of our rental housing and rental facilities to turn into short-term. I understand folks using that, particularly homestays, to help offset their own cost of living and the cost of their housing, and all that makes sense to me. But early on, I remember when we'd see entire apartment buildings in North Asheville, everybody kicked out, and now all of a sudden it's what was 10 apartments is now 10 Airbnb units, and I'm not supportive of that at all. I don't think that's creating many hotels and not acting like they're hotels. And I'll tell you, the folks who'll be the most clear to point this out are the bed and breakfast owners, who are completely regulated just like a hotel is. And so I understand their frustration when they feel that the standards are different for them to be offering an extremely similar product as an STR. I mean, they're sort of in the middle between STRs and hotels. But, I think we need to enforce the regulations we have. I think we need to push hard on Airbnb to be able to get the data. It is tough to be able to tell, who's actually renting. There was that case up on North Market Street that's been sort of the hoopla for a few months where there's a battle between neighbors and illegal Airbnb. So I want to see us continue to do the enforcement with that and have a do it the best we can do even without the Airbnb data, but continue to push them for it.
Great. Finally, Kevin, is there anything that anything else that you'd like to let voters know about that we maybe didn't discuss before we let you go?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I'm concerned that we're not talking as much about as we need to in this election cycle here in Asheville are to me the two issues that undergird all the rest of those, and that's environmentalism and equity. I don't see those as separate issues in a way that I do transit or housing. I think every other thing that we're talking about in Asheville somehow sets on a foundation of equity and environmentalism. And in fact, those are probably more connected than a lot of times we even give credence to, because we want everybody to have all the safeties of good environmental policy that provides for a healthy community to live in. And I'm concerned that in the city council, we've seen the environmental things get pushed down a little further. And there are a lot of heavy things that we're working on in Asheville. But that's why I'd rather see that be an undergirding issue. I think we're a little more in tune with that in regards to equity, but there's still work, of course, to do there. Next city council will be the one that really has to think very deeply and how it's going to work with the reparations commission and what are we going to actually do? What will be the walk we put to the talk? And so I think as we're moving forward, those are two foundational components that I don't want us to lose sight of as we're thinking through transit and housing and public safety and all those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time.
Sure. Thanks so much, KP.